What's up, Alethea?
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to be back in here. And if you were with us last week at Alethea Home, would you show your appreciation to our preaching lab guys for preaching? Put your hands together. Jack and Thomas spoke at the two locations, and so we're thankful for that and what God's doing in and through them. Today we continue our series in the book of Isaiah, our Advent series, and we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 11. And so far what we have seen and what we have covered is that we looked at Isaiah chapter 1 and 2, and we saw the mountain of joy. And how the only way that we ascend to the mountain of joy is not by creating our own mountain, but by seeing that the mountain of joy happens only through Jesus, and that Jesus descended from the mountain, and that because of this, we can ascend to the mountain through faith in Jesus and belief in Jesus. And then at our Chili Fest, our campfire service, in Artie's backyard, we looked at hope's seed, and we looked at Isaiah chapter 6, and that hope is only found in one place. And so this is a significant lesson for us in this season, because many of us are looking for hope in lots of different places. Hope in gifts, and hope in experiences, and hope in grades, and hope in jobs, and hope in relationships. And ultimately, hope is found in one place. It's found in Jesus. And today, we're going to look at peace and security, and that they are only found in one branch. That's our big idea. Peace and security are only found in one branch. Now, that seems odd, and that we would find peace and security in a branch, but we're going to see it here in Isaiah chapter 11. So if you have a Bible, you can read it along with us. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. If not, it'll be up on the screen for you. Here's what it says. It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Verse number 10. "In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people? Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." Let's pray one more time, and then we'll dig in this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us a mind to understand what is being said here this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We ask that you and your presence would guide us to Jesus. Help us to see that Jesus is the only branch that we can put our peace and security in. We ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So the context of this passage is this. We have Isaiah the prophet, who has been called by God to be a mouthpiece to the people of God. This is what prophets did. They spoke, as it were, as the voice of God to a group of people. And so over this course of these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at Isaiah, this prophet who wrote this book, and he is declaring to the nation of Israel, what God's promises and what God's truth is to them. Now, last time when we were in Isaiah chapter 6, we saw that Uzziah had died, and we see this glorious picture of Jesus high and lifted up, seated on a throne, his robe filling the temple, one of the most famous passages in all the Old Testament. We see this picture of a glorious king. We saw this when we were in Artie's backyard and we looked at this passage. We see Jesus in all of his glory and all of his splendor. But before you see that, we see this small little sentence, in the year that King Uzziah died. Because the prophet understands that they had put their hope in a king. They had put their hope in this good king, this earthly king in Uzziah. Now, as we move forward to Isaiah chapter 11, there's a new king for the nation of Israel, and his name is Ahaz. Everybody say Ahaz. I don't think anybody, particularly Jack and Amy, as they prepare to have their little man, are they going to name him Ahaz? Probably not. And if you have a little boy, you probably shouldn't name him Ahaz either. Ahaz is an earthly king of Israel, and the last time we gathered, we saw that King Uzziah had died. Ahaz's plan now is to go to Assyria, not Syria, but Assyria, and he is going to go to them and ask them for help because they're in trouble. They are under threat from Syria, and they're under threat from the northern kingdom of Israel. So there's two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and Judah, the people of God, are under attack by the northern kingdom and Syria. And so King Ahaz's plan is not to trust in God, but rather to go to Assyria. Now, to understand the context of this whole passage about peace and security, you have to understand a little bit who Assyria is. Assyria is like the big kid on the block, the big bully on the block. They pick on everybody. They try to take over everything. This is who they are. And so Ahaz decides, you know what? Syria, you want to come pick on us? In Northern Kingdom, you want to come pick on us? Okay, we'll go to Assyria. We'll go to the big kid on the block. It's like when you were growing up, maybe, and this bully keeps picking on you, so you find the biggest person you can find, and you just roll with them, right? That's what Ahaz is deciding to do. He's like, you know what? You want to pick on me? That's fine. I'll go find a bigger person than you. That's what he's decided to do. He has put his trust in someone, particularly this nation of Assyria, that does not believe in God, does not trust in God, does not worship God. The big problem with this is that God had already sent Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him not to do this. In Isaiah chapter 7, he goes to King Ahaz and he says, you know what? You need a sign. God had already sent him to tell him to not make an alliance with the Assyrians. And so God will provide you defense that you need. That's what he goes and tells him. He will be your source. He will be your strength. He will be your help. Assyria is not the answer. You see, God had already spoken to him not to put his trust in Assyria. But Ahaz responds in Isaiah chapter 7. You can go back and study this maybe later today. He says, who am I to ask God to do a miracle for me? So Isaiah tells him, hey, God will perform a miracle for you. And Ahaz's response isn't great. That would be amazing. His response is, who am I? Now, this sounds humble, but really what it is ultimate pride. It says, who am I to ask God? Why should I ask God, in other words? I will go to Assyria. John Calvin comments on this passage. He says, when God offers you a sign, guess what? You need one. When God offers you a sign, you need one. He is offering you a place to trust in. He is offering you help because you need it. Isaiah's response to this at the end of Isaiah chapter 7 is, therefore, since you have not asked for a sign, the Lord is going to give you one anyway. He says this in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall be called his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now this wouldn't happen for hundreds of years later. Jesus would not come on the scene until hundreds, maybe 1,000 years later than Isaiah. And so in this moment, Isaiah is telling Ahaz, you're not putting your trust in God, and you're going to be punished as a result of it. But in the end, God will win out. In the end, Mary is going to give birth, and she's going to conceive the very Son of God, and his name is going to be Emmanuel. And so that is the background to the passage that we just read. Up to this point in Isaiah chapter 11, Ahaz is seeking some other branch to put his hope in. And it's Assyria. And in this moment, after the promises and prophecy of Jesus coming through the virgin birth of Mary, he is going to come. And he's going to be the Son of God. And he's going to be a branch that won't break, in other words. And so that's why our big idea today is this, is peace and security are only found in one branch. And here's the deal. When you climb out on a limb, it's important that that branch is sturdy and it's alive and it won't break. And if it's weak, it won't hold your weight. And it will snap. And you will fall. And so today I want to show us, just like Isaiah was showing Ahaz, what branch you can step out on. What branch that you can step out on in faith and know that it won't break. Because the reality is you and I are standing on some branch. We are. All of us. Christians, non-Christians, followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, we are all putting our weight on something. The question is where should we place it? So verse 1 through 3, we have our first point this morning, which is a vital branch, an unlikely source of peace and security. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So what is Isaiah talking about? Well, shoots and branches and roots are all genealogical terms. This is carrying out the imagery that he's been using throughout the whole book, which is these physical, botanical imageries all to point us to one person, Jesus. So we saw a mountain, we saw a seed, and now we see a branch. Shoots are signs of life. I don't know if you've ever seen a tree cut down and then the stump is there and all of a sudden a shoot, a green branch comes out of the stump. Anybody ever see that? Anybody? We had this tree in Kentucky in our front yard when the first house that we lived in. And prior to moving into that tree, part of it had become rotten. And before we moved in, they had had that tree cut down. And it was in the front yard right up towards the front of the road. And it was just ugly. The stump was ugly. And every spring, after the hard winter in Kentucky, like these little branches would come out from the base of the stump. And what it was showing is that there was life in the roots of that tree. In spite of that tree being cut down, there was still life in this tree. And so where does this shoot come from? This shoot in the passage says it comes from the stump of Jesse. So then the question is, who is Jesse? Well, Jesse was the father of David. And Isaiah is talking about the lineage of David that ultimately Jesus would come from. And this is because this is what the scriptures had prophesied again and again, that Jesus would come out of the lineage of David. We see this in Luke 2. We read this story at Christmas time, that Jesus was of the house and lineage of David. Hundreds of years before this, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying that this would be so. That not only would he be called Emmanuel, not only would he be born of a virgin, but he would come as promised from the lineage of David. Since the reign of David, the people of God had been looking for a king like him. But they had experienced kings like Uzziah and kings like Ahaz now, who didn't necessarily put their full trust in God like David had. The situation had grown so desperate that they are longing for anything that would bring peace. And so they are even willing to turn to the bully on the block, to experience peace. So this is why the prophet Isaiah says here in verse 1, the shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. In other words, hope is coming. That's what he's saying. Hope is on its way. Don't trust in Assyria because hope is on its way. However, Ahaz and Israel's perspective is so far from that, because they believe that David's line had been cut off, that that tree had been felled long before now, and that's why it's empty. It's barren. It has no hope. So look at verse number 2. He says that this stem, this shoot, this branch is going to have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might and knowledge that all flows from the fear of the Lord. So what is Isaiah saying? He is saying that this king is going to be nothing like Ahaz. He is going to be nothing like Ahaz. Ahaz doesn't delight in the fear of the Lord. Ahaz trusts his own wisdom, his own counsel, his own understanding, his own ability to solve problems. But there's going to be one who is going to be Israel's help. He is going to be Israel's strength, Israel's consolation. And he is going to have true wisdom. He is going to have true knowledge. He's going to have true understanding. And he will have a spirit of counsel and strength and knowledge. And all of this will flow from the fear of the Lord. And he's going to know God. He's going to be in awe of God. And he is going to delight in the reverence of God. What is Isaiah saying? He's saying, there is one that is nothing like you, Ahaz. There is one that's nothing like you, person at Aletheia, today. There is something other than us that is vital for us to know. That is vital for us to realize. Now, as awesome as that sounds, here's the deal. All of us loathe the idea of a king. We reject the idea of a king, especially as Western Americans, don't we? We sought our freedom to run away from a king, right? We don't like kings. We rage against the idea of a king. We have good reason for that in some ways. The reality is there's no good kings. You can look back through history. You can study history, and there are no good kings, right? Think about even David, who this King Jesus will come out of his lineage. He slept with Bathsheba, who wasn't his wife, right? There are no good kings. In our society, we don't have kings, but we have guys who try to function like kings, and they're called presidents, right? We have no good kings either. Think about it. Clinton didn't inhale. Bush lacked good strategery. Obama's hope turned out to be more audacious than he bargained for. And Trump, we don't even need to discuss that, right? We have no good kings. And the reality is every politician, every pastor, every king, every leader is flawed. It's flawed. We're imperfect. So we loathe the king because really what we desire, if we are honest with ourselves, in spite of being millennials for the most part and hating rules, our rules and power aren't enough. That's what we want, but they're not enough. We can't be kind enough or tolerant enough to make all things right. We can't. We're looking for vitality in all of these places. Vitality in tolerance, vitality in power, vitality. That's what Ahaz was doing. He wanted his nation to thrive. He just was trying to get it the wrong way. But the reality is that we need a king who has power to revitalize us from the inside out. We need a shoot of life from a lifeless stump. That's what we need. This is what the writer of Romans is talking about when he says we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. In other words, we're all stumps. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, guess what? You're a stump. Just look at him. You're a stump. You're a stump, man. You've probably never heard that. Like, you never said that to anybody. Hey, you're just a stump. We're all dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we need something to make us alive. And that's what Jesus does. Isaiah is telling us that there is a better branch, a greater branch, a heavenly king that you can put all of your weight on because he's vital. In spite of being killed on a cross, he was put in a grave and he rose from the dead. What is this? This is life coming out of what is dead. He's a sturdy branch as well. Not only is he vital, but point number two, he is a sturdy branch, a righteous source of peace and security. So he is a place that is not only vital, and it's unlikely that peace and security would come from him, but he's a sturdy branch, a righteous source of peace and security. Let's look at verse 3 through 5. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness, there it is again, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Isaiah not only communicates that this branch, Jesus, is vital, but now he's going to help the people of Israel and hopefully us today see that this branch is sturdy. He's sturdy. He shows this by saying the right kind of rule that will come from the Messiah. He says that he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make decisions by what his ears hear. In other words, unlike you, Ahaz, there's a king who doesn't just trust what his eyes see and what his ears hear. But this man, this God-man's judgment, is going to be based upon things more than external appearances. As bad as things look, Ahaz, as bad as things look for you and me, there is a place that we can trust and we can be sure. And we can have sturdy confidence that we can step out on in faith will be trustworthy. You see, Assyria at one level may look great and may look like a good bet. But ultimately, Assyria, as strong as they are, as great militarily as they are, they judge by ears and sight as well. And they do what's good for them. They do what's pleasing for them. Here's the deal. We all put our weight of meaning on something, just like Ahaz. For Ahaz, his meaning was found in security. His meaning was found in the status quo of things remaining the same, of comfort and pleasure and significance and being in charge. Are we any different? We all put our weight and meaning on something. The problem is it's not sturdy enough to hold us. Well, let's test the branch for just a second. Let's step out on the branch, if you were. Can I use that metaphor? I think the passage uses it. Let's step out on the metaphor for just a moment and think about the branches that we step out on. For some, it's education. For some of us, it's a relationship or a job. But I think for most of us, if we're honest, it's in our ability to reason. It's in our ability to reason through situations, to think it through. It plays out in different ways, but you may use reason to plan out success. You may use reason to plan out your life. You may use reason to plan out your relationships and when you'll take the next step and when you'll DTR and when you'll make this commitment and when you'll do this or move to a city or create a business. The question is this: what is this? When we try to reason our way through a situation, it's looking for a branch. That's what it is. It's looking for a branch. Now, you can test the sturdiness of your reason based upon, do you actually pray? Do you actually pray and trust God to help you reason, help you think, help you give you wisdom, help give you supernatural insight? You can find out if you are trusting your own reason or trusting in God as a sturdy branch simply by looking at your prayer life. Ultimately, if we trust reason, it's looking for a branch to stand on. And that branch, if it's just reason, will snap. It will snap. It might be green now because you're young, but eventually it's going to snap. You see, Isaiah and God's word is telling us that those things aren't enough. Your strategic planning, your ability to chart out the course for your own life are not sturdy enough. So here's the deal. We all need something greater, something more sturdy, if you were. We need something sturdier than our own reason. So this is what Isaiah is describing. Look at it. Verse 2 through 5. He uses these words: wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord, delight, judgment, righteousness, and equity. You see, the Spirit came upon leaders in the Old Testament to fulfill different tasks, but it rested on none of them like it was going to rest upon Jesus. They all had limited power. You and I have limited power, limited ability, and what Isaiah is describing for us is a sturdy branch. If you could know that you could put your weight on something and that it would never break, would you do that? I think we would all sign up for that. If we knew we could step out on faith on a branch and it would never break, we would all climb trees. We would. In spite of our fear of heights, if we knew it would never break, we would all do it. And that's what he's describing here. He's giving us these words: wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord, delight, judgment, righteousness, and equity. And he says he gives Jesus the very wisdom of God. And his wisdom is greater than all the internet and all the universities and the New York Times and anything else combined. Jesus has that wisdom. He also has understanding, the ability to see the heart, to see through authorities, to see through bad business plans. But Jesus sees through you. He sees through you. He knows your desires. He knows your heart, and he has that kind of understanding. It says counsel and power. This refers to military strategy, the ability to devise a plan for victory, to win, to run up the flag. He can do it every time. He can do it every time. Jesus has everything, but it takes his ability for you to have these things. Jesus has everything that it takes to rule, and yet we turn to other things. Most importantly, the reason why this branch is sturdy is because he uses this one phrase. I don't want us to miss this: the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I asked myself this question as I was studying this passage this week. If Jesus is Lord, if we believe that Jesus is Lord, why does he fear the Lord? If Jesus is God, why does it say he fears the Lord? The Father, in other words. You see, Jesus has a high regard for his Heavenly Father, not looking to overthrow him or exist independent of him. This knowledge that he attaches to this fear of the Lord is equating a relationship. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't just fear him, but that knowledge that he has of the Father moves him in his relationship with the Father to fear him. This is all relationship. Christ knows and respects the Father, which is why he lives in line with him. From the time that he comes to earth in the manger all the way to the cross, he functions, he operates in the fear of the Lord because he reveres him. He trusts him. Here's the deal. Beneath all the wisdom, strategy, and power, Jesus has the quality that sets him apart from any other king. Humility. That's why he's sturdy. That's why Jesus is sturdy, is because he would humble himself. Because it enables him to look at you and me who don't deserve love, who don't deserve his kindness, who don't deserve a relationship. And he says, you know what? I will descend from heaven and I will ascend up a cross so that all of these people who I created, who I love, who I care about, can step out on a sturdy branch because I humbled myself. You see, humility isn't just the first step out on the branch. It's what allows us as followers of Jesus again and again to not trust in other branches. You see, we trust our own reason even after we come to faith. We do this. And what Isaiah is saying, whether you're Ahaz or the nation of Israel, or a person from Assyria, someone far from God, the way you step out on that branch and the way that you continue to do that is through faith. And the only way that we will put our faith in Jesus is if we humble ourselves, just like Jesus. You see, we have to humble ourselves over and over and remind ourselves that the branch is sturdy. It's sturdy. You can step out on it in faith, and it will never snap. You can trust it. So we see a vital branch. We see a sturdy branch. Now lastly, verses 6 through 10, the weird verses, we have a fruitful branch. A fruitful branch, an everlasting source of peace and security. So Isaiah continues his train of thought regarding the branch by talking about its fruit. I believe he does this because he knows that we as humans love to focus on the fruit of things. We do this all the time, even in our relationships. This week I was counseling a friend of mine who is a pastor in Cincinnati, and he and his wife separated over the Thanksgiving holiday. And through the course of that conversation, I realized that for years, in his marriage, he had focused on the fruit of their relationship rather than the root causes of their disagreements. And it had come to the place where he had stepped over and over on the branch of his relationship to the point where he had put his faith in his wife. He had put his faith in his ability to do better and try harder. And now that branch is weak and it's snapping. I asked his permission to at least share that part. And he said, please. I told him what I was preaching on. And he said, please share that. But he said, because he said, my tree's falling apart. It's falling apart. The reality is we love to focus on the fruit of things. And so Isaiah describes the king's rule as a fruitful place, enough to create a world where there's unprecedented peace. Think about the things that he talks about here. Let's just scan right down through 6 through 10. He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. The little child shall lead them. Like a lion is going to be their pet. A leopard. This is crazy. Little children will lay right beside and like watch the cobra do its little dance, and it won't hurt them. All of the imagery here is strange to us. It's wildly enticing for us to think about. The things that Isaiah describes are so contrary to the way the world works currently. And he's seeking to answer these questions. What's the world going to be like that this king, Jesus, rules over? You're looking for safety, But let's look at what Jesus offers. What's the world going to be like under this king? What Isaiah is describing, it's going to be a world that's under the blessing of God's hand. It looks nothing like the world looks like now. You see, we all put our weight of life somewhere. We are all seeking to exist for something. And the question that we must ask is there a thing that we can exist for that won't ruin everything else? That won't ruin everything else in our life. You see, when we step out on the branch to put our significance and weight in our relationships, it ruins everything. When we try to step out on the branch of our job and put all of our weight and significance in our job, it ruins everything else. You say, you don't believe me on that. I was reading a study this week of coaches, premier coaches who coach CEOs. And they were asked, what's the number one thing you coach CEOs on? And here's what the list of coaches said all together. One thing. Vitality in marriage. Period. Almost every CEO that this group of coaches coached had broken marriages. And they were asked why. And they said because they put all of their significance in their work and abandoned their family. To climb the ladder of success, these particular individuals were willing to sacrifice their relationships with their family so that they could be successful. Now, this wasn't a small spattering either. This was the majority of CEOs that they coached. In other words, when we place our significance in our job, something's going to snap. When we place our significance in our spouse, in our relationship, something's going to snap. When we place our significance in something like our school or education other than Jesus, something will snap. And so what he's saying here is there is something that we can exist for that won't ruin everything else. So what is this? Let's look at verse number 10 and we'll conclude. He says, in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people of him, shall the nations inquire. And his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah is saying that there is a day coming when Jesus will stand as a signal for all the peoples. And of him, nations will inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In other words, there's a day when all peoples will exist for one thing for all time. And that is for Jesus, who is the very glory of God. For his notoriety, for his fame, for his rule, for his order, for his way of living. You see, the only way that we can step out on a vital, sturdy, fruitful branch is if we put our faith and trust in Jesus alone. And as a result of this, we will understand that God is wiser, that God is sturdier, that he is more life-giving, more fruitful than any plan or goal that we can come up with. The result of doing this is the passage says that Jesus will be a signal. Now, I saw that word and I was like, what does that mean? Does it mean like a road flare? Like, what is he talking about here? The word signal means banner. It's a picture of people from all cultures who had given up finding meaning in their family crest, in their family source of origin, in their lineage, and have chosen to find meaning under one banner. In other words, they have come under the banner of one branch, and they have embraced the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and that he is their wisdom, he is their meaning, he is their glory. You see, you and I were created to come under one banner. You and I were created to step out on a branch that's vital and sturdy and fruitful that will never break. and that we can trust in. You and I were made for one king. And he's a perfect king. And Jesus is a better branch because Jesus is a better David. He's better than David. He's better than Bush. He's better than Clinton. He's better than Trump. I know it's not hard to be better than those, but he's better than those. He's better than your ability to figure things out. He's better than you trying to reason your life around everything that you're comfortable with. He's better than that. And the only thing that can hold your weight and your longings and your significance, the only thing that can hold those things up is one branch. One branch. And Jesus is the one branch that doesn't break. The one thing that when you put him on top, doesn't crumble when you put anything on it. He's the only thing that doesn't ruin everything else. It doesn't mean that when you put him at the top, things won't look difficult and things won't look hard and things won't be scary. Like that moment when you were a kid and you were climbing a tree and you step out on that branch and you're like, oh, I hope it holds. Sometimes when we place him at the top, it feels as though things are crumbling and things are ruining, but ultimately he is sustaining and holding you. The question is, do you have the humility enough to kneel down and leap to that branch? And Isaiah is telling us, it won't break. Now, this is significant for us this holiday season because we're all looking for branches to step out on. Will they come? Will they act the fool at the Christmas dinner? You know? Like, will they believe? Will they trust? Will I get that gift? Will they like it? See, we're all looking for a significant place to stand on. And what Isaiah is reminding Ahaz and what he's telling us is there's one vital, sturdy, and fruitful branch. So there's really one question. Will you step out on that branch? And my encouragement to you today is do it because it won't snap. If you don't know Jesus today, the way you step out on that branch is by putting your faith and trust in him. Faith is simply trusting, relying, depending only on him. Not relying on your ability to reason, not on your ability to be a good person any longer, but saying, you know what, Jesus, I believe that you live for me, that you died for me, that you rose from the dead for me, and you are my king, and so I trust you. I believe in you. I ask you to come into my life and be my king, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my branch. And for those of us who know Jesus, the question is still the same. Will you put your trust in him? You see, humility allows us to continue to step out on that branch rather than the other branches that we try to construct, try to trust in, try to hope in. And ultimately, the whole message of this passage for Ahaz and for us is peace and security. Think about all of these images. It's all peace. Lion, lamb. Leopard, child. Nursing child in front of a cobra. This is peace. This is shalom. Universal, lasting, over-encompassing peace. And that only happens through one person, and his name is Jesus. So trust in him. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for the good news of this passage, that there is only one vital, sturdy, fruitful branch that we need to trust in, and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The God who would come down from heaven and humble himself, take on the form of a servant, take on the form of a human, and live for us and die for us. God, what we have seen from this passage is that you are vital, that you are sturdy, and that you are fruitful. And so, God, we ask today that you would do what only your Spirit can do, and that's to draw us out on the branch and to put our faith in you. As much as I can communicate and encourage and motivate, only you can save, only you can change, only you can draw, only you can convict. And so, God, we ask that you would do that in these moments. As we sing, as we give, as we celebrate, as we reflect, as we pray that you would help us to step out on the branch that is Jesus and put our faith in you. We ask you in Jesus' good name.